This FPL season has definitely been go, go, go. A nonstop hustle all the time. Matches, deadlines, unexpected blank and double game weeks, on top of everything the real world has had in store. Sometimes you need a moment to turn off and hit reset. That's when you reach for Coors Light. It's made to chill. For me personally, supporting Fulham during this last year has been a true roller coaster ride. Honestly, when that Adama Traore goal flew past Areola in the 92nd minute of game week 31, the only thing that saved my mental state, the only thing that calmed my nerves, was cracking open a Coors Light. There's only one beer out there that's literally made to chill, and that's Coors Light. The mountains on the bottles and cans even turn blue when your beer is cold. That way, you always know when it's time to chill. When you need to hit reset, just open a Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment made to chill. And listen, everyone, summer is pretty much here. It's about to get hot in New York. An ice-cold Coors Light is such a perfect way for me to beat that summertime heat. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light and the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. And as always, celebrate.
Hail cheaters and welcome to the Always Cheating Podcast. My name is Josh. I'm here with Brandon. Brandon, how are you?
Josh, I was just flipping through my Oxford English Dictionary earlier today and I stumbled upon the word comedy. Comedy, in one sense defined this way, professional entertainment consisting of jokes and satirical sketches intended to make an audience laugh. The second definition, you know, you got one, two, three, four. These words mean many different things to many different people and cultures. The second definition was very odd, I think, to people outside of our social circles. But for me, it hit home. It was just a picture of the Premier League logo. What do they say? Comedy equals tragedy plus time? Or is that right? Do I have that right?
Yeah, comedy is tragedy plus time. That's exactly.
So that's kind of where we are. I mean, game week 7 wrapping up here. It's not a lot of time into the season. We're still in that sort of wistful, it's still early at sort of phase of FPL.
7:38? I mean, what? We're like not even 20% of the way through.
So does that mean we're just still strictly in the tragedy portion of this grand comedy of the season?
I think so. Yeah, we'll see. The whole world is a tragedy right now. Why should the Premier League be any different? We'll see what happens on Tuesday. Lord knows that's right. Leaning over my brain right now. It actually kind of affected our running order. I was just like, I think both of us are feeling so anxious about Tuesday. I was like, you know what? We're going to do this one a little bit different. Like you said, we're 8/10 of the way through game week 7. And you and I, well, actually, I'm just going to hold it for a second because the opening question is going to be a little bit about what our feelings are on the season now that we're seven weeks in. And I, you know, we're going to talk about fantasy, obviously, but just sort of big picture, what is it like to watch the Premier League right now or to understand what's happening in the Premier League right now? Because I think that there are, first of all, it's an interesting topic because I'm certainly interested in like how crazy everything has been. But I also think that there could be some strategic gains that you could have if you sort of accept that things are not normal, right? Like really, really accept it. We are still, when we think about our transfers, when we think about our captains, maybe a little bit different because in some ways you're just fundamentally always going to captain, a pretty narrow band of people. But I think transfers and formations and things like that, I think that we may be stuck a little bit in a pre-COVID perspective. So game week 7, though, neither of us had a lot of we both struggled, I think, to make fantasy fun again in game week 7, Brandon. How many points are you on? Like 79 points or something like that, right?
higher. No, I'm on 42 points with minus 4 hits. So I'm net 38 right now with James Justin yet to play in that Leicester Leeds match happening on Monday. My moves, how I ended up taking a minus 4 was prior to the James Rodriguez injury, I needed to do something with my defense because I had Lucas Dean on the red card suspension and VVD out for the season. So I decided with Matt Ryan in goal, we'll get to that in a moment, to get some Aston Villa defensive coverage. And I moved on Matthew Target for Virgil van Dijk. And it was really helpful to get the news that Dean's suspension was reduced to just one game week. So Dean is back for the Manchester United match. So bringing Target in, and then the Rodriguez injury happens. And this was an interesting injury, I think, for a lot of managers, where it was in some ways really annoying. I think you brought it up last week, Josh, where there is this fear that Rodriguez is going to be this player that is just perpetually yellow flagged throughout the course of the season.
Yep.
And that's really tough with a player that is as good as James is, because you kind of want to hang on to him if it makes sense. But if you always have this sort of Damocles holding over you, it's a problem. So anyway, his injury, Ancelotti saying he was definitely out for the weekend, presented this dilemma, which kind of became like a little treat to me. Like, okay, you've got some money. This is a place in your FPL lineup where you can get a little more attacking punch for this game week. Yeah. And I do want to thank Jeff Petter for coming onto our Patreon podcast at the end of last week. And Jeff and I talked about how Rashford, coming out of the Champions League midweek, incredible form, like Harry Kane level form. You and I both were on the same wavelength. I didn't even know this was a move you were thinking about so seriously. Yeah. We both moved on Rashford. So just to wrap up where my team is now, that move, neither of those moves obviously worked out. But what is just like stunningly hilarious, like you've just got to laugh sort of state of my FPL team is...
Right.
James Justin is left to play, as I said, but I've got Sace, Target, and Matt Ryan filling out my defensive structure, all 0 points. Just an absolute comedy happening in my FPL squad right now.
I guess, in a way, you're lucky that you were able to you did get 8 points from what's your Wolves midfielder.
Potence.
Thank you.
I didn't know this. Have you heard this nickname going around for a man, Daniel Podence?
No.
Impotence. So he finally sprang into form, as it were, on Friday, which was great to see. And a goal from Salah, a goal from Kane captain. So those are the silver line, and a goal from Calvert-Lewin, which I almost forgot about. Interesting to see these goals little kind of sprinkling around my team.
Do you wish that you had never found out about effective ownership, that like had stopped, like that was not a thing that you knew about? I would say I enjoyed fantasy like at least 10% more before I knew what the effective ownership of all my players is. It just takes a little bit of the fun out of. I mean, I think I'm finally going to stop looking, because just meaning like any, like, you know, the effective ownership is so high for some of these players, you know, in terms of who owns them, you know, sort of in your band of rank or in the top 10K. And so you're kind of like, well, I don't even really want X player to score because, you know, he's so owned. And basically effective ownership is, you know, if you own a player, you have 100% of that player, right? If you captain the player, you own 200% of that player. So there's these averages that'll come out where, you know, you'll find out Mo Salah's effective ownership is, you know, 112% or something like that. Like, he's extremely highly owned. And then he's also captained by, you know, maybe he's owned by 75% of the top 10K, and then 50% have captained him, right? So he's at 125% effective ownership. Yeah. So you, when these things come out, you're like, well, I can't even celebrate the goal from the player in my team now, because it's, you know, and it sort of just takes a little bit of the fun out of the matches. So I think I'm going to try to get away from that. Maybe my way to make fantasy fun again is to not track effective ownership or just look at that stuff so closely anymore.
I'll tell you one thing that helps with that, Josh, is to find yourself ranked around 3.2 million overall in the world. And every little bit helps in a way. I'm still on a red arrow right now. Though I guess I'm like 5 points below the average. I think that's something that we should talk about a little bit more as this episode goes on, about the state of the template, because I feel like where I see all of the differentials My team, my team was just the wrong team. Low ownership players and all the players that are on the periphery that might give you a leg up. I feel like I just had 100% the wrong team like a month ago. And as each week passes by, my, I feel personally like my hand is being forced to bring in the template players. Not that I'm a maverick to begin with, but my where I'm going with this is all of the marginal differential players, players that upside players are like Callum Wilson players where I'm just like, I do not want to bring you into my team. So that's kind of what I'm really struggling with at this point in the season is how far to stretch myself to find those players.
Well, do you think, I mean, okay, so this, I mean, this kind of gets into our, the opening topic here a little bit, I think, but just given how weird things are, I mean, you know, do you think that you need to like do like a real like clean slate? Like I am not going to bring, like, do you think you just have, you're just bringing too many biases into your team right now and like to like too many feelings, strong feelings about players that maybe are impacting your, and I'm talking about myself here a little bit too for sure, because Callum Wilson was somebody I actually thought about as well, mostly because he was like topping some of the stats tables, and so I was like, oh, maybe you know, I didn't ultimately do it, and I'm not even sure how seriously I thought about it, not very really, but like maybe there is something about like have, because like Jack Grealish, that is a player who in theory you could have brought in, right? You're not tripled up on Villa or anything like that. But I suspect that you might think of him as like a little bit of like a flash player, or like somebody that you're just not like super enthusiastic about having in your team. And so, you know, could that have been, do you think maybe if you were just like, I am going to go into every, like each new game week, or I'm going to try to like, you know, scrub myself of any pre-existing thoughts,
you know, a little like bit of that.
Yeah.
A little bit of that. Certainly with Grealish, I was talking with one of our supporters on Slack earlier in the week, and they said Zaha or Grealish. We did a little bit of stats analysis, and Grealish came out well ahead. When I had the opportunity to, when I created in my mind the opportunity to burn four and bring in another midfielder for James Rodriguez, ultimately I came upon Rashford because I'm thinking lower ownership player with high ceiling, high FPL points ceiling. So I'll go Rashford because I need to start making some moves. Grealish, my only bias, there is he's great and so many people have him. And I think we need to continue to talk about Jack Grealish, because if you're talking about all the chaos that's happening this season, we need more Jack Grealishes in our team. Players who are fit, always fit, will always play, will always play 90, and are central to everything. That is, of course, the appeal of James Rodriguez. Grealish even more so, because he is a straight-up talisman for that Aston Villa team. So I am totally, like, I am totally moving toward the Jack Grealish way of thinking as this chaos swirls around us. And so as I'm sort of working my way through the chaos, let's talk about your team. Where are you at right now with two matches left to play in game week 7?
Yeah. I mean, I had two transfers to use. I feel like I ultimately blew them. Like I sort of spent them on flash players needlessly. I really regret not going Sace to Kilman. I sort of talked about, I psyched myself out of that move a little bit. I was just like, well, I can't take out the highest scoring defender until he's finally dropped. You know, I need to wait until that happens. If it does at all. I mean, I thought he would just slot back into the center back position, really.
I did as well.
And so because that's where he played all of last season and played pretty well. You know, so it's kind of frustrating. And of course, that ended up, you know, I ended up bringing in Foden instead. And if I'd brought in Kilman, I would have had six. I got one from Foden. And so Foden just feels like kind of a silly move. I can see the logic. I mean, apparently he was like battling he was sick. He was unwell or something.
He had a little, the squirts.
Yeah, or something. Who knows? And so he ended up coming down for, you know, 9 minutes, got me 1 point. And my thinking was, well, you know, I think he's probably going to start. He's been, you know, he's been coming to the bench a couple times. He looked great every time he's played. It's worth the risk at his price. It was just, I didn't think he'd come on in the 81st minute. You know, so it was just, it was a little frustrating the way that that shook out.
Especially considering how that City team was playing. I mean, yeah. Do they, okay, I think I have some advice for Manchester City. Hire a running coach. Not just a coach that teaches these guys how to transition from walking to a pace that is faster than walking. That's my advice for Manchester City.
Yeah, it was really frustrating. And so, you know, and of course my frustration was only amplified by everybody on Twitter yelling at me. You know, what do you expect when you bring in Foden? Why are you upset? It's like, well, I think I'm still allowed to be annoyed, you know, if he comes on and only gets 1 point in 9 minutes. Like, I'm not sure why. I don't know. I think it's like everyone is okay. Let's transition now into the like what's going on. I'm on 42 points. I've got Stuart Dallas to play tomorrow. I got 0 from Martinez, 2 from Robertson, 0 from Sice, 0 from Target, who came off the bench for Sice. That leaves Lamptey's 9 points just sitting there untouched in second bench spot.
Lamptey, by the way, just last week against West Brom, he was just carving West Brom to pieces. Yeah. And this guy is the dude. This guy, need Lamptey.
I didn't think I should start him. I didn't think I should start him away to spur. It looked like the right move when conceded.
Totally. And I'm not admonishing you for not starting him. I think that I think the percentage of captaincies played on Son and Harry Kane show you that everyone expected. Yeah. And just look at the lineup that Graham Potter went out with. My theory here, Josh, is that this week, Graham Potter, somebody turned him on to Ted Lasso, the hit NBC, not NBC, the hit Apple Plus TV
should be
show.
NBC. Yeah.
Where Ted Lasso, he's a happy-go-lucky American who finds himself managing in the Premier League. And along the way, he teaches everyone these great life lessons. And I thought, with that Brighton lineup, surely Graham Potter had seen Ted Lasso and he thought, you know what? This Spurs match is going to be a great match for me to teach, you know, Neil Maupay a really helpful life lesson. He's Ted Lasso.
He's the Jamie Tart of this team. That's what
exactly. I don't know where that leaves our precious Matty Ryan, but I don't know. Either. So I think that's, we all expected Brighton to get beaten up. So I totally understand why you bench Lamptey, but I mean, Lamptey is
annoying. Maybe Stuart Dallas won't play tomorrow. You know, a boy can dream. It's a weird start to the season. My rank is still fine, I guess. I mean, even when you factor in auto subs, I'm around 300K, which is not that bad. And if maybe Dallas will do something tomorrow, I mean, who knows, right? So, but it looks like another 100K drop for me, which two in a row, which isn't so bad. But it was just kind of like you. It's that, you know, it's that sort of what's the thing that's the most fun in fantasy? It's when your low ownership players do well. And I think for both of us, we had a week where those players were the ones who were the flops. You know, and the high ownership ones did well, which is fine. I mean, like, I celebrated Dominic Calvert-Lewin's goal just like you did, I'm sure. And, you know, and Ollie Watkins getting that penalty after doing nothing the entire match kind of saved my rank a little bit, too, because he nicked a bonus point, too. So I got 7 from him. And I was thinking about dropping him. And so that worked out well. I was happy about that. Just in general, it was kind of a ho-hum kind of week. And I think, you know, the thing for me is that, and this is now we can finally transition into the the opening topic here. Just my feeling is, I think with the election, with at least in the States, I mean, I'm sure people are following all over the world. You've got the election, you've got COVID, you've got the Premier League being so crazy. It's like, I think that, I don't know. I just feel like I am not enjoying this season as much as I want to be. And I am trying to figure out, and maybe you can help me with this, Brandon. I don't know.
I'll try.
Maybe we can help each other out. I'm trying to figure out what, like, I mean, this is like the central premise of this season, right? This came out of this summer when we were trying to just have fun. Like, we were lucky that we got these matches at all, right? After the season was aborted, you know, after 27 weeks because of, you know, the coronavirus outbreak. That was, you know, let's make fantasy fun again. So what is, to me, it's maybe it's less a strategy thing, and it's just like an approach. Like, what is the best way to enjoy these matches? I have a couple of thoughts, but just what do you think is the best way to enjoy your weekend? And I mean, fantasy is a fake game where people play matches and you have no control over the outcome.
Yeah.
And you're basically gambling on the returns, a very low stakes form of gambling. So what is the best way to enjoy that, in your opinion?
Yeah, I think you have to, at the very base level, just focus on the Premier League and the football.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of remember, okay, you have to do this sort of, you know, that scene in Ratatouille where the really grumpy food critic finally tastes the titular ratatouille at the end of the film, and suddenly he's transported back to his great earliest childhood moment and is this pure pleasure. And I want people watching the Premier League during this season to have that kind of moment where maybe they get transported back to the first time they walked into their club's ground, or which is ironic because that's the last thing that you're actually able to do during coronavirus. But That's like the base level that you have to get to, is remember why you play the fantasy game is because you actually really enjoy watching football and try to not let the game sort of break that tie. The other part of it is to embrace the chaos, and embracing the chaos might to some people mean, well, I have to try to crack the code of the chaos so that it can improve my FPL team. But I think, on the other sense, I don't know if this is me sort of like tacitly admitting that I'm giving up on this fantasy season in a way, is embracing the chaos and that maybe this is just going to be a terrible fantasy season for you. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. I mentioned this last week.
For the record, for anyone listening who doesn't know Brandon well, this is a complete lie. I cannot imagine you ever giving up on a fantasy season. I don't think you have it in you constitutionally to do
No, obviously. I mean, that is a relative thing. Like, giving up basically means I'm trying to sever that horrible emotional nerve that we're talking about.
Yeah,
absolutely. I will be crunching these transfers from here to eternity. There's no doubt about it. But I like this idea that we were talking about last week of trying to stop yourself from playing this season like it's the last season you'll ever play. And that's not to say we should give up on this season, or that this season won't turn around, or we won't sort of figure it out and things will improve and you could go from a 4 million rank to a 100K rank. That's 100% possible. Yeah. But do understand that you're coming back next season. The Premier League is not going to go away. I mean, at least it will take them a few more years to set up this European Super League.
not even in lockdown, apparently.
That's wild in and of itself. But just know we have many, many more seasons to come. And I don't know if this is like a planet Earth sort of like the atmosphere healing time sort of a thing, but there will be more seasons to come. Everything is not riding on this particular season.
Yeah. Or any game week. I mean, as you said before, we're 7/38 of the way through the season. I suspect we might see some stoppages this season may drag until next July. Once again. So yeah, don't sweat any particular match. And I guess that is the thing that I have been thinking about as we were having this conversation. I sort of almost talked myself into it as we were talking a minute ago, which is that I just need to, and it's actually harder to do in the US than it is in the UK. We don't really have a match of the day type program that just sort of summarizes everything really well. So the match of the day challenge is a little trickier here. You can like pull it up on Reddit 2 hours later and watch it, you know, but it's complicated. It's like, you know, it's like you'll never do it if it's too complicated. You just, you know, you'll think about doing it, but you won't do it.
I find it demeaning to watch these things too, like on my laptop. It's like I don't know, it feels
like you're cheating or something. Yeah, it's like, yeah. So I think what like I have that. To, I think the thing that is driving me the most crazy, which I think is a thing that's kind of like particular to the fantasy manager, is I do not enjoy these matches being so spread out on Saturdays and Sundays. It drives me crazy. It's because if things are, even when things are going well, I'm just like a little too obsessed and a little too focused. And it is very easy for, you know, like an 8 hour stretch to go by where I'm, you know, it's not like I'm like, I have a family, like I, you know, like much like you, I've things to do, you know, I eat lunch and sure. whatever, but yeah. like I've
got errands to run. I know you don't know what an errand is, but I'm running.
Never had one in my life, but I know that there are things that happening, but I'm pretty focused for like a good 8 hours. Not every weekend. There are some dud matches for sure, but a lot of the time I am. And I don't think it's the way to enjoy these matches. It's just too much. And so I think that moving forward, I am going to look at Saturdays and Sundays, and I'm going to try to pick like two matches. Like these are the two that I'm going to watch. The other two I'm just not even going to watch. Yeah, I'll watch highlights later. I'll track them later. But I just, this like consuming all of it and sweating every match, because you can always work yourself into a match. You can always wait, you know, there's, you know, unless it's like a West Brom Fulham might be like the one exception.
Oh, come right? on, Josh. Yeah. We always talk about the one night at your apartment many years ago where we stumbled upon the Dutch league and, mm-hmm. That was actually our first introduction to Graziano Pelle, and we just started making non-monetary bets on which minute the next goal would right. be scored. And it just happens they score a lot of goals in the yeah. Dutch league.
Yeah,
you can find a way into any match. Yeah,
exactly. Even from a fantasy thing, you'd be like, "Well, Mitro still has a fair share of owners, you know, et cetera, et cetera." So I think that's what I'm going to try to do. As far as the it affected my transfer strategy, I clearly have not solved that yet. And I think that's something that I don't really even know what I would do. I mean, you know, Marcus Rashford scored a hat trick in 20 minutes or whatever in the Champions League. And I thought, well, that's great. He was rested and he's in form. And then, you know, it just turned out that, you know, Paul Pogba, you know, I posted this earlier on Twitter, but Paul Pogba, you know, at this point, at this stage in his Man United career, he makes one or two like catastrophic errors in every match, right? Either it's like not threading like a through ball when he should, or just fouling somebody in the box. And every time this happens now, he has this look in his face like, you can't blame me. I don't want to be here. You know, and it's just this like kind yeah. of shrugs.
He's like, "Hey, laughs. You're the idiots paying for this."
Yeah, exactly. He's like, "You're the one who paid $100 billion for me, and I want out." You know, so I'm sorry, I'm not going to give him my all. And it's just so clear that he doesn't care. And it's like he's like that guy. That guy. I've been this guy before. Like, you know, that job.
We all have.
Yeah, that job you're in where you're like, I am looking actively for a new job, and I'm going to do this job just well enough that I don't get fired. Right. Like, I'm just until something else comes along, I'm just going to do the job. Nothing more, nothing less. And that is what he is literally a player on the pitch. And he is like, he could be, you know, so much better than he is. We've all seen plugged in, I'm going to care for a while, Pogba. And that Pogba is amazing. Yeah. And he just doesn't show up very often. And now he's got this new thing where he fouls people in the box all the time. And
he loves
like,
it.
Yeah. And then he just shrugs like, hey, I'm sorry, I don't want to be here. So what are you going to do? So I
think it was fascinating that Ole Gunnar Solskjaer did not sub Pogba off when he brought Nemanja Matic on.
Yeah, I was a little surprised too.
And I mean, I don't know what the opportunity is there. Like, you play Scott McTominay farther forward, or
Fred was bad too.
I mean, a lot of people were bad in that match. You look at from an FPL perspective, Bruno Fernandes, just
awful match.
Yeah, less than 75% pass completion. Just, you know, talk about people just like walking around like they don't care to be there. So it's a really difficult, as new Rashford owners, I thought that was a really tough match to watch and assess the new transfer.
Yeah.
Well, A, it was not fun. And B, it was sort of like, well, have I done a bad thing bringing Rashford in? But this is the eternal narrative for Manchester United, right? Like next week we'll be talking about how we've got to bring all them boys back into our FBL team. So I'm not truly worried about Rashford, but yeah, I know what you mean. It's just like there have been some really hard watches for some big matches this season.
Yeah. Yeah. And credit to Arsenal who is certainly they are a competent, well coached team. And it's been a while since we've been able to say that about them. They came in there and they did a shift and they nicked a win, and, you know, congrats to them. But I think the Man United thing is just more interesting and probably more relevant for fantasy. So yeah, Anthony Martial's back next week. So I think that will help.
Another person to sulk on the pitch for Manchester United, what they need.
Another sulker, but it should help their front line, because at least now they can play the Greenwood, Martial, Bruno, Rashford front four, which was very, very effective for them over the summer. And they're away to Everton in game week 8, which I actually think could help them a little bit, because they should have some opportunities in the break, which is where they excel. And then they play home to West Brom in game week 9. West Brom is not a strong defensive team by any means. So I think the Rashford is at the very least a hold for 2 weeks, probably for even, like, hopefully for even longer. But certainly for the next couple of weeks, I'm not planning to move him anywhere.
I'm giving Rashford my hold him till the holidays Brandon stamp of approval.
Ooh. Now,
in Marcus Rashford, hold him till the holidays.
In your household, though, Brandon, the holidays begin on Saturday, November 7th. So anything is up for, you know, up for grabs. I mean, you could drop in this game week.
Yeah, it's all relative, baby.
you start putting up those Christmas decorations the second All Saints Day happens. So, all right, we talked about the mental part of it, the strategic part of it. It's a work in progress. I think the thing about having someone like Rashford is that he is a little bit like Son, where it does seem like what you want right now is to have players that are capable of like 15 to 20 point returns. Son had a terrible game as well, surprisingly, just off.
Another great walking award for Heung-min Son today.
Yeah, just weird that a couple of those players, I guess they've played a lot of matches. I mean, there's more Champions League at midweek this week too. They're just like jamming these matches in, like it's insane.
Yeah.
So, which is, you know, obviously not ideal, but so I think that. I think it was just a one-off, kind of a fluky match for Son. I'm not worried about him, but anyway, the point is, like, you know, because things are so crazy, having a slightly imbalanced team where you don't have a lot of money in your defense and you've just got a bunch of these players that could score 15 or 20 points in a match, I think that is probably the right strategy at the moment.
Yeah, I have to agree. And we talked about Grealish and players like that. There were plenty of affordable FPL assets. And you know, even I have to accept the fact that even if I feel like I have to go template, even if I feel like I'm going against ownership, or buying into ownership with a terrible rank, that's just kind of how you find yourself on steady footing. And that's where you can move into a more sort of aggressive position. You just have to find some footing. You have to find players that are working, that are doing the business consistently week in, week out. And only from there will you really be able to move into an attack-minded position as an FPL manager.
Yeah, Grealish is only 30% owned. I mean, it's not like he's, you know, just this universally owned player. So I think that could still work out. Yeah, you can never go full Maverick, as our friend Eric Freeman has been fond of saying. Or maybe I said it and he said it too, and we've both said it. I'm going to co-own that term with him.
Do it.
So on that note, let's take a break. And we're going to talk about Game Week 8 after this. All right, Brandon, just a quick note. It's November 1st as we record this pod. The first of the month or early on in the month is a perfect time to become a new Patreon supporter. You get a full month for your pledge. And if you want to support the cheaters, you can go to patreon.com/alwayscheating to do so. Brandon, what's up? Why would they do this? What's the deal?
Well, I'll tell you what the deal is, Josh. First of all, you and I, we show up every Sunday night and we record this podcast. And it's a way for you, if you enjoy what you hear, to say thank you to us. And in return, you get an extra podcast every week. We record a podcast on Thursday or very early on Friday, depending on the game week. And that, particularly in weeks like this, where you've got European midweek action, and it will help you get a beat on what's going on midweek and what our thinking is heading into the deadline. In addition to that extra pod, you get access to other competitive mini leagues, including our first ever cup competition, which is in full swing right now. And after game week 7 is over, we'll be down to 64 supporter teams in the Harvey Milk Mustache Cup. So congrats to everyone who eked it through to the round of 64. You also get access to our Slack discussion thread, where you have access to me and Josh. Yes, we do rate my teams day in, day out there, and also t-shirts and other swag at the highest level of support.
Yeah. And just one final note here, which is that when Brent and I have especially bad game weeks, like we're having this week, it can be very hard to do this podcast and show up on Sunday nights. And it is because of our Patreon supporters that we never miss a pod. And it's because we feel like we really, they are pledging their support for us. And we in turn need to return the favor and get a pod out even when we are feeling a little low. Which it always feels like a little silly. Like, of course we've been doing this for years and years, but you know, the whole reason we did a podcast to begin with is because we love playing fantasy and we take it way too seriously. And so, you know, that's, so sometimes we are going to be a little down. We try to, you know, be professional about it, but, yeah, it's because of our Patreon supporters that, that we keep doing the pod every week. So, thank you to everyone who currently supports the pod, and a shout out to our new producer patron, by the way, Bobby Styles. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much, Bobby.
Thanks, Bobby.
Yep. And so patreon.com/alwayscheating is where you can go. All right, Brent, we're back. Game week 8 kicks off again. Another a double Friday. This is, I think, the first double. You know, this is probably the first double Friday in the history of the Premier League. I just realized, not counting the, like, you know, Boxing Day, you know, holiday mess. So actually, we probably have double Fridays literally every single year, but discounting that for a normal week, it's pretty wild.
I'm super psyched that the game week 8 is going to be over Sunday evening. And the Friday, like, Thursday is the new Friday, right? So we're all kind of checked out. Even though we work hard on Friday, but we're still at the same time checked out.
In case your boss is listening, you've now covered yourself.
Okay, boss. Okay, now you can just skip ahead 30 seconds. I 100% want to check out after lunch on a Friday, and what better way to do it with Brighton and Burnley? But the Monday fixtures are a killer because that's the coda to the game week. I kind of just need to move on at that point. And, you know, we're staring down the barrel of a meaningless West Brom Fulham fixture bar relegation that's happening in 6 months' time. I just want to be done. So Friday fixtures, thumbs up. Monday fixtures, thumbs down. Therefore, game week 8 is giving a bona fide thumbs up from Brandon Kelly.
Yeah, it's getting a thumbs up from me too, especially because these first two matches are pretty low stakes. I don't think anyone's capped anybody in these matches. Danny Ings is probably not going to play. Safe to assume. We don't really
which
know
bums
yet.
Me out, because I was actually thought I was going to move Jimenez to Danny Ings for this game week, and now that plan is scuttled. Not that I could have done it anyway, because apparently I don't have any playing goalkeepers or defenders, so I've got all their fish to fry.
Right, exactly.
Suddenly, none of them are playing.
So I guess Lamptey went off. I think he's going to be okay.
It looked like a cramp to me. I haven't heard any of the commentary, but it looked like he was sort of pulling on his foot. Like, it looked like a guy trying. I mean, he was rubbing his hamstring, but who knows? Feels like a cramp.
If, you know, certainly I plan to start him in this match at home to Burnley, unless, you know, we should have more news by this Friday's match. Southampton, Newcastle, that's kind of fun too. I mean, these are just like a perfect appetizer Premier League matches, Brandon. A little
Amuse-bouche.
Yeah, Amuse-bouche, exactly. I was going to say bon mot, but that's a witty well, comment, right? Not a bonbon? I guess I was thinking of bonbon, like a chocolate bonbon.
We put the foodie in FPL this week.
Apparently. So those are fun. I don't think we're talking about those too much. And then Saturday, you've got a fun spread. And one thing that I'm looking at the Saturday's matches, we have the classic four-match spread here. And Antonio, if it comes out that he is healthy and ready to play in game week 7, it would be fun to have Antonio for that Fulham match. Probably too risky, right? If he has this nagging hamstring, then probably don't play him, right?
Particularly on the eve of an international break where you know Antonio can get yet another week's rest. And a guy like Antonio, who's always struggled with injury, you kind of want to give him as much rest time as possible. So I think the odds of him playing are pretty slim.
Yeah. That was the bummer about the Ings thing, you know, because I dropped Ings a few weeks ago on my wild card, but I like him. He's a fun player to watch. And even when he scored that goal today, I was like, you cheeky bastard. You know, I wasn't like enraged. I was just like, you're too good. Damn. Like, why did I ever drop you? You're so good.
It's like when Tom Cruise does the flyby of the like air tower and Top Gun. All the like, I'm not doing a great job.
He's just such a good pilot. God damn it. And the worst part, yeah, exactly. The worst part is he's better than me. So those are fun. And I guess looking at, so both of us have this, as many people do, this Roman Saiss issue. Unless we have some massive injury news that comes through, we'll probably have to burn a transfer this week. I could probably get away with not burning a transfer, but I think I'm just going to go ahead and do it. I've got a little bit of money invested in him, and it frees up some cash too, because I'm all about taking cash out of my defense right now. So I would be looking at Kyle Walker-Peters at home to Newcastle, or Koufal, who I have to be quite honest. I don't really know anything about Koufal. I have not been following West Ham too closely because their matches have been, their fixture run was so poor. But Koufal has put in, one clean sheet, couple of assists already, available for 4.5 million, 0.6% ownership. Like, talk about make fantasy fun again, Brandon. Give me a 0.6% owned player. That's, it's going to wet my whistle significantly.
Yeah, and it's that Czech Republic connection between him and Souček, and I feel like it is full on FIFA Ultimate Team for these guys. I know you don't play FIFA, Josh, but there is the Pokemon mode of the game where you collect players, and there is team chemistry, and obviously the chemistry comes from people.
Is that a loot box thing? Is that what a loot box is?
Yeah, there is definitely that's one of the knocks on FIFA is they loot box the hell out of the FUT feature. But team chemistry comes from just being from the same country, having the same customs, the same rituals. But it is full on FIFA Ultimate Team when you watch West Ham and you see Koufal and Souček. You're like, yep, you guys definitely both look like you're Czech and doing your thing. And so that's kind of, and I don't know, that sounded like a very sort of Djangoistic way of saying I like Koufal.
It's like, it's crazy, and Souček unrelated, but it's crazy that Souček has not returned more than once. He's one assist in the season, maybe a little unlucky not to get the goal. That was the Jimenez own goal in game week 3, but it feels like he is so involved, doesn't it? It doesn't feel like every time I watch a West Ham match or highlights, it's like I turn around and there is Souček, like just about to score or just about to do something dangerous. You know, he's for a defensive midfielder, he's so active.
Totally, and that's what boggles the mind is the distance that he covers. I'd be interested to look at the stats at you know, kilometers run during a match. But I think it's probably less the kilometers that he's run. It's just the time that it takes him to travel from one 18 to the other 18. It's like suddenly, yeah, he's covering the back line to, wow, he's in the attacking box. It's crazy.
I'm not like an ICT person. You know, there's these ICT ranks for all of the players. And
Do we even know what those mean?
No idea. No, I have no idea. But for midfielders, there are 237 midfielders in the fantasy game. And he, as far as threat goes, so I guess that must mean like attacking threat. Like, you know, I don't know if that's like XG. It's so dumb that I even bring this up because I don't even know what it means. But as far as threat goes, whatever that may mean, he is 10th out of 237. Which seems pretty high to me. 10th out of 200.
Particularly for that price tag. Yeah. You have to couch this conversation on how much Suchek costs. Which is he still at 5.0? Has he risen a bit? But regardless,
4.9.
Even better. Even better. And you know, I'm here celebrating the Daniel Podence return at long last. And there is a guy that's 0.6 cheaper than Podence, who is number 10 on the ITC index, Josh.
It's crazy. Yeah. I mean, what a banner day for the ICT that you got this long, nice long plug on here. Maybe someone can come on and talk to us about what that means and whether we should be using it. But threat, it does sound good, Brandon.
Podence ranks 29 out of 237 on the ITC index for midfielders. So, you know, he's coming for you, Suchek. Yeah. Watch out.
And it's ICT, Brandon. So, again, we've betrayed our
our know-nothingness, of course. Yeah, yet again.
So the other match, so we have Leeds Palace. We'll table that one because we don't really know. I want to see Leeds play again tomorrow. I'm actually really curious how this Leeds-Leicester match goes tomorrow. But Chelsea, Sheffield United, I mean, Chelsea finally put in, you know, the kind of performance that we had been expecting. And it seems clear that, you know, Hakim Ziyech, you know, really made a massive difference in that squad. And so now are you – my feeling on Chelsea is that I don't know who to get, and so I'm not going to get any of them until I can figure that out. And are you, you know, like, has anyone sort of, has your opinion changed after today's match?
Yeah, I have a bit of a curveball for you and the audience, and the build up to game week 7, I have to put my hands up and do a mea culpa, because a lot of listeners asking us about Chilwell and Chelsea defense. And my response was, no, I'm not interested. I'm out. I don't know what to expect from these guys. And I'm kind of like trying not to spend anything over 5.0 in my defense. And Chilwell is breaking those rules. And it's funny to me that in the match this weekend, where it was kind of a coming out party for the new Chelsea attack, minus Pulisic, my attention is suddenly diverting to their defense. And I don't think I'd be thinking even that much more about their defense if I didn't have this Matt Ryan situation. Yeah. So 2 weeks ago, if you were to say, okay, Matt Ryan is not even playing anymore, you've got to get a new goalkeeper, no problem. Just get Martinez from Aston Villa into your goal and it's done. You don't have to think about it.
Yeah.
Now, after two very lackluster defensive displays from Aston Villa, on top of the fact that Martinez is 4.9 at this point. So now I'm just like, why don't I just shell out for a 5.0 goalkeeper? Wow. So you see where I'm going with this. Mm-hmm. Now I'm actually looking to get Edward Mendy in goal. And you can try to talk me out of this, but just here's the double move I'm planning for game week 8.
I hope it's Benjamin Mendy and Edward Mendy, so you can have two Mendys, Brandon.
Well, I could burn 8 and get a Leicester's Mendy in the midfield as well. And then I could get Kenny Banya up front to say soup is not a meal.
You have to change your team name to soup is not a meal.
But Sace and Ryan out for Mendy and Bellerin. And Arsenal have some interesting fixtures. And now these are – so I guess – in a here's a broad way to frame this discussion about defense is,
yeah,
we spent a lot of time talking about cheap defense, and you go to these mid-table, down the table teams to find these cheaper guys. Mm-hmm. And now I'm at the point where I'm very frustrated with virtually everyone. And so you could say, well, that's even more a case to not spend any money. So now I actually started looking for cheap defenders on good teams. Mm-hmm. And you've got Arsenal and Chelsea. Bellerin is 5.0. Mendy 5.0 is cheap, yeah, enough, I guess. Yeah. The, yeah, issue is, you know, I think no one would truly argue Chelsea and Arsenal are relatively good teams. However, I don't think you can argue in good conscience that they're insanely reliable defenses. Arsenal's probably a little more than Chelsea's at this point, but I think there, Chelsea, yeah, is, they're getting there. So suddenly I'm going, it feels good to me to go from just trying to have faith in Brighton and Aston Villa every week to now my chips are with Chelsea and Arsenal. Is that crazy?
No, I mean, once you see that Bellerin is 15 out of 216 defenders for creativity, you know, I think that probably changes the game for you. Yeah, he's dominating the ICT. And let's look at your boy Mendy. I bet he's got some great ICT stats as well.
I mean, how, yeah, many games do you have to play to register on the ICT index?
He's there for, in terms of goalkeeper threat. He is 60th out of 68. ICT's a little low on the threat, but
he's,
in terms of,
but he's threatening.
In terms of influence, whatever that means, he's 22 out of 68. So that's, you know, there's only 20 teams in the league, Brandon. So he's a little below, yeah, right, you know. But he did start late. So let's credit where it's due. I mean the clearest sign that he's made an impact. And I mean, honestly, given how Kepa had performed, I think you really can draw a line here. He's played 3 matches for Chelsea so far, and they have 3 clean sheets in those 3 matches. He missed the Southampton match where they – so he joined right before game week 3. It was too early. They conceded 3 goals to West Brom. He started the Crystal Palace match 4-0, and then he got injured. He missed the Southampton match 3-3, and then clean sheet away to Man United, clean sheet away to Burnley. So – 3 matches, 3 clean sheets. Pretty impressive. I bet he climbs up, Brandon, that influence number pretty soon.
Upwards of 45-ish before the end of the year. I think we'll get more into Arsenal talk when we get to the Sunday's fixtures, but Arsenal's next 2 are Aston Villa, Leeds, then Wolves, Spurs, Burnley. It's more of a long-term prospect for it. Like Arsenal's fixtures, like they're really appealing defensive fixtures are kind of,
yeah,
scattered here, there, and everywhere. Chelsea, yeah, though, Sheffield United and Newcastle, and then the next 2 followed by Spurs, Leeds, Villa, Wolves, West Ham. Yeah, I don't know. I just feel like I hate that I've been put in a position where I have to really, I've just been working on my defense for weeks now. I wish, yeah, I was done with this. I wish I could focus on my attack. Thankfully, I've got no injuries or suspensions at this point, knock wood, to deal with in my attack. So, you know, focus remains on the defense.
Yeah, I mean, could you field 3 defenders next week without, like with Sace on the bench not playing?
If Sace doesn't play, I'd need... yes, I could. If Sace and Mitchell again don't play, then I've got Dean, James Justin, and Matt Target playing. But then, yeah, I've got, okay, so, I have no goalkeeper though.
Wait, so is Dean back for the he's back for the Man, yeah, United match? Okay,
yes,
so it was just the one. Yeah. Oh, okay, so that's not bad then. That's an option. That's something.
It is an option. And I saw you tweeting earlier today, Josh, about one of our listeners saying they needed to do some surgery in their defense because they have a similar situation to me where they're concerned about people not playing. But in this climate with what's happening with defenses, what's the worst case scenario? What, you just get a, right, 0 from your defender? Well, we've got a bunch of playing defenders who are putting up 0s left and right. So, right, instead of taking, yeah, a -4 hit, maybe have a little patience. I have this tendency. So when I mowed the lawn when I was a kid, mm-hmm, here's my tactic was always go around the edge of the lawn first, just like do the border and then go around, yeah, all the trees. I basically wanted to do all of the busy work before I actually just plowed through and did the rest of the grass.
Yeah.
So I have this temptation or this impulse. Maybe I'll just take a -4 and that's done. I don't have to think about it anymore. And then I can just get to the business of being an FPL manager. But as we all know, it actually doesn't. It's never that clean, is it?
No, never really works, does it? That approach. So I think, yeah, I mean, you know, like you said, I mean, the problem is you don't have a wild card. I mean, at some point you're going to have to solve this problem. So a goalkeeper, not having a goalkeeper is just like, it's not something you can like get away with forever. Like you're not going to... You know, and so, yeah, like, do you want to spend two consecutive game weeks blowing your transfers on defenders? I don't know, maybe, but I think I would be in the same boat as you. I would just take my chances, burn the four, hope that you got a clean sheet. You know, if he concedes, I mean, you know, if he got 3 points, you know, if you got 3 saves, then you're only down -1, which is, you know, in assuming that they, you know, conceded a goal. So yeah. I think it probably is worth it.
And I think, yeah, but the trick is I can only get to Mendy if I sell saves to get that 0.1. So I guess that's the rest of the story. That's enough about my team.
I see. Okay. Enough about your team. All right. So let's move on to Sunday's matches. I guess this is where you're going to find your captains, right? You've got Spurs away to West Brom, and I think Kane. And Kane is so funny, isn't it? Like it's crazy that he is... He has like fully embraced this idea that he's like a forward and a midfielder now. You know, it's like, it was always kind of the joke about him.
Why don't I do both?
Yeah, but it also kind of works. Like it's fine, yeah. I guess. Like he's, you know, I mean, what can you say, right? I mean, 6 goals.
Do you think he saw Suchek play for West Ham and he thought I could do that?
What it was. Yeah, I think he was. He was like, oh, they're bringing the Ajax style to the Premier League. Yeah, I mean, 6 goals, 8 assists, gets another goal today. Should have had a brace, got a little unlucky. I mean, whatever, that's going to happen, right? Like, his balls are pinging in. Like, he's like a, you know, massive tree trunk of a dude. Like, of course, like, you're not, like, sometimes you're not going to, like, find your feet, you know, just the right time. So, whatever. I wasn't too annoyed about that. I mean, it was annoying because it was called a big chance missed.
Sure.
And that knocked him, you know, out of the bonus point.
Yeah, famously territory. Happened to, there was a pivotal match where this happened to Mane last season, I think it was, where he was just raking in all the points and BPS in some Liverpool match last season, got some ball served to him on a platter and he just put it wide and suddenly off the map.
Totally. Exactly. It's like, it's a real bonus point killer. So whatever though. But I mean, you know, all things considered, I've had him for 3 weeks and I have 27 points from him in those 3 weeks, right? So I've been averaging 9 points a match. And they play West Brom. It's pretty good. And they play West Brom in game week 8. So I think the only question now is, you know, and then Son has been pretty much the same, right? The only question now is, I mean, Son has 8 goals and 2 assists, a couple fewer assists. The match, to finish my thought, the only question now is whether, after this match, Son or Kane become a little more droppable because their fixture run does get a little bit worse. And so if Son were to put in another indifferent performance today, especially with Gareth Bale coming and scoring, I think Son would be the one who I'd be more likely to move on, you know, possibly to free up some money for Kevin De Bruyne or something like that.
Yeah, I think that's right, because Kane is undroppable, though. Yeah, I wouldn't look to do it immediately after game week 8 because of the international break. And
right.
I could be corrected to be wrong, but I know that South Korea didn't play at all during the last international break. So
yeah.
If the same holds true, we'll have to look this up.
Are they still going to play it next week? Like, give me a break.
It does seem crazy. It does seem crazy.
Yeah, like, I mean, England is about to go into lockdown and they're just going to like send people all over the world. And then come back to the country, and I mean, I know that they're fairly safe, but like that just seems needlessly risky to me.
Okay, South Korea does have a match scheduled with Mexico on November 14th to be played. Google does not tell me where they will be playing. That's an interesting one. So if they do go through with this charade of international football during a global pandemic, Hung and Son will probably be playing. I don't know. But sometimes we need to do more intel on this because sometimes South Korea will field teams of like just people who live within the country and that sort of thing. Anyway, I think you see what my point is there. Maybe Son is a hold until after game week 9.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I don't think either player is needs to be moved on. I mean, they play Man City at home in game week 9. I mean, Chelsea away, Arsenal at home. I mean, I guess the Arsenal match is the only one that's like truly scary. You know, Liverpool away in game week 13 isn't ideal, but it's a good time to play them, right? Without Van Dijk. I mean, geez, like Gomez is just, he's going to lose his job at Liverpool, I think. You know, I mean, just that. Such poor clearance, you know, led to that the goal in the West Ham match. So I think the one thing I'm thinking about is captaining Son away. He has 3 double-digit returns in road matches already. He scored 4 away to Southampton in Game Week 2. He has had 2 goals and an assist away to Man United in Game Week 4. He had a goal and assist. He just said that he had the goal and 3 bonus points away to Burnley in Game Week 6. So there is something about the counterattacking style that you have in road matches that seems to really help his game. And I also think his ownership might, or his captaincy percentage might just be a little bit lower, especially after an indifferent match in game week 7 and with Kane scoring. And so it might be a chance to be a little bit different while still having a player who could absolutely go off in game week 8.
Yeah, I think that that's the right mode of thinking. And just looking at Kane's performance today against Brighton, just dropping deeper and deeper and deeper, and it's not hurting his game at all. Obviously, Kane looks like a season keeper FPL-wise right now, but if you're talking about that counterattack style, Kane is the player who is looking to provide the service, and that's kind of his mode. He's looking for goals, and he's looking for service, looking to provide service. Heung-min Son will never change. He is that Mo Salah level of passing the ball is low on his list of priorities. So he's a goal hungry player, and that's perfect for captaincy.
The other matches that I think are worth, I mean, obviously you have the Man City Liverpool match on Sunday, and could you even harbor again? I mean, I have absolutely no, I wouldn't even pretend to know what that match will look like, right? I mean, it feels completely unpredictable. Like Liverpool could win, that seems very possible. Man City could pull it all together and you know, like just clean the floor with them like they did this summer. You know, I think it was like a 4-0 win or something like that. I mean, do you have any thoughts on how that match is going to play out?
Well, my great hope is that Thiago is healthy, because I think that that's something that Liverpool really missed this weekend, was any sort of tempo in the midfield. And that's been my big takeaway this season so far, is that Wijnaldum and Henderson, as sort of integral as they are to the recent history of the last two trophy-winning seasons of Liverpool, it's kind of like their race feels run a little bit. And Thiago, even Jota to another degree, just a little bit of fresh blood being injected in there. And I think that would really help them. And with Manchester City having their defense like relatively healthy again, I thought Laporte, you know, coming back yet again for the millionth time from injury, playing alongside Ruben Dias, I thought they looked pretty strong. So Liverpool will need the help of somebody like Thiago. So that's my hope. And if that's the case, if Liverpool are able to field the lineup that they really do want to, I think it will just be a tight draw, like a 1-1, 2-2 sort of a draw. It just, like, you remember that match that we were super excited about? Like, we did a media blackout 2 seasons ago with the Sané last minute winner, where it was just like
great match.
It was the best match, but it was 0-0 up until the death, and it was like that was a 0-0 that could only be played with 2 teams sort of at the peak of their powers. And I don't think we're going to get that this weekend. I don't think that's to say it's not going to be an entertaining match, but each team is gonna have to need one or two of their star players to step up.
I have this Foden issue now. I mean, it's very tempting to just hold a transfer this week and just try to give myself maximum flexibility to sort that problem out. I'm a little on the fence about that. I might just do it. I don't, you know, I'm just sort of, I don't know what. I mean, this is the, my defenders for game week three. If I just held my transfer, would be Lamptey if he's healthy, Stuart Dallas away to Crystal Palace, and Robertson. I mean, that's fine, right? Like Dallas, Lamptey, Robertson. Like, I mean, I don't know what Dallas is going to get away to Crystal Palace, but is it worth burning a transfer to replace him with Kufal or something like that? I'm not sure. I'm not sure that's
why
really...
would you replace a defender playing Crystal Palace? That seems crazy. Like Palace do not produce a lot of attacking opportunities.
I don't know. I'm talking myself into it, Brandon. we'll see. We'll see what happens. So yeah. So that I'm a little on the fence about what I'm going to do there. Arsenal, Aston Villa. We did say we talk a little bit about Arsenal, and I'm impressed. I got so burned out at the end of the Wenger years, and then the kind of just the boringness of the years, you know, the 2 years that came after that, that I sort of I kind of like a little checked out on the team, and I'm just so impressed with Arteta, and just so impressed with. With how organized they are, and you know, Gabriel just looks like
looks perfect. Great.
Yeah, awesome center back. Baron
Thomas Partey.
Oh yeah, he was so good in that Arsenal match. He's incredible. Oh my god, like what a great signing! Like just like in playing through balls, and just like he's got like a real. I'm not even sure who I would compare him to. Like I guess it's like a Pogba, right? Like a little like sort of a. You know, just like he plays a little deeper, but he can just
he's doing the work in the midfield, basically. Yeah. And he's got, he's got the mind that can basically multitask. Like I'm pressing, gaining possession. I'm also looking for the pass. And that's what Xhaka rarely did. He could only like sort of hold to one idea in his head at the same time.
Worthless in fantasy, but he makes the whole team better for sure. And
I think
the defenders, I mean, I wish that Holding was a more stable starter in that team, which he isn't. I mean, unless Louise is out just like indefinitely, which doesn't look like he's going to be. But otherwise you've got Tierney, which just is a little too pricey for my taste. And I think it's Barron. It's Barron or I mean, Leno to me, that's like, I don't know. I guess like if you're talking about Mendy, Leno is like up there too. He had a pretty good match.
He's the same thing, basically, I think. Yeah. But in a way, and this is, I've made this mistake in a few ways in my defense is, you know, picking defensive coverage from a team the wrong way, like getting Matt Ryan instead of Tariq Lamptey. So you have to figure out if you're... What can you afford pairing certain teams? So if you go for Leno and goal, and then you also want a piece of Chelsea defense, then you have to be able to afford Chilwell, which I can't. Right. So therefore, and you have to flip it. And so you put Mendy in goal, you concede the attacking option in Chelsea, and you go for the attacking option in the defense of Arsenal. And I can't afford Bellerin. So that's how I end up making that decision. And I think still... Bellerin has looked, even since we got back from lockdown at the tail end of last season, Bellerin looks recharged and he's coming back from injury. And I think Tierney, especially playing on the same side as Saka, he and Saka sort of share duties on the left flank, and Bellerin is kind of doing it all himself on the right side. And I think that's really appealing, that exclusivity on one flank.
Yeah, Saga is like he is a future fantasy asset. It just he hasn't quite put it all together yet. But he's they're just a fun team to watch right now. There's a lot of young, interesting players on that squad, and it's funny. It feels like they haven't played like a super relevant fantasy match. Kind of also even this one, weirdly, it's weird that Arsenal would play Man United, and there was just almost no significant fantasy implications in that one. But I think moving forward, maybe it might not even be until next season. But I think that we'll see. There'll be a lot to like, even from a fantasy perspective from Arsenal. On that note, Brandon, that's game week 8. Pretty fun matches, I think. I think we got some fun ones this weekend.
Oh, 100%. So as far as bus teams are concerned, though, I just want to know about captaincy. So your son is where you're feeling right now.
He's not a mortal lock or anything, but...
Well, I'm not asking you to commit at this point. There's no signing bonus here or anything like that. I do think it's hard to not say that Spurs is, again, like the standout option here. Yeah.
Yeah, I think Kane or Son is fine. I think that Salah just as a you know, ever present option. I mean, if we want to go off the board a little bit, maybe it's Ziyech, especially if he gets rested for the Champions League game. Maybe he's an option. Although Sheffield United, I take that back instantly, Brandon, because Sheffield United have this ability, even though they are not good, they are a team that I feel like no one wants to play because they have this ability to just make every match a total grind. Yeah. They seem to be losing all of them, but they lose all of them like 1-0. And so I think that I can't imagine them scoring away to Chelsea. So I guess there's that, but, yeah, I don't know. I just can't see anything significant coming out of that match for any of the Chelsea attacking assets.
Good. You've satisfied me, Josh. Now we can take a break.
Okay. All right. Let's take a break and we'll be back in a minute.
All right, gang. Even though sports had a break, you remember that break? They had that break. Your business, it didn't have a break. You have to keep moving, and that makes hiring more important than ever. Indeed is here to help. Indeed.com is the number one job site in the world because Indeed gets you the best people fast. Unlike other sites, Indeed gives you full control and payment flexibility over your hiring. You only pay for what you need, and you can pause your account at any time, and there are no long-term contracts. Plus, Indeed provides powerful tools to make your search that much easier. Right now, Indeed is offering you, our listeners, a free $75 credit to boost your job post, which means more quality candidates will see it fast. Try Indeed out with a free $75 credit at Indeed.com/BlueWire. This is their best offer available anywhere. Go right now to Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Offer valid through December 31st.
Football is back in full swing. All varieties of it, Brandon. I was delighted that Michigan State once again went in Ann Arbor and won the Paul Bunyan Trophy back.
Go green.
Yesterday. You may not be at a game this year, but you can still be in on the action at Bet Online. Bet Online is going the extra mile to make sure you can get it on every possible chance to win this season. This long season. The NBA season hasn't even started yet, Brandon. We're going to have games. We're going to have sports forever, you know? bubbles and sans bubbles, whatever. We're going to have sports going all the time. From game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, Bet Online gives you more options to wager than anywhere else. You can get in on their season opening bonuses today and start off wagering on wins, division, and championship futures all day, every day. Head to BetOnline today to take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Don't forget to use promo code BLUEWIRE at betonline.ag. That's BLUEWIRE, Brandon. That's the promo code you want to use. It's all one word. BetOnline are your online sportsbook experts.
All right, Josh. So every week we talk about male grooming. And you can sort of giggle a little bit. Manscaped, they specialize in grooming below the belt. But Josh, I've got some big news, right? This week in the mail, Manscaped sent me their, what they call the Weed Whacker. And this is their tool that helps you above the belt. It is an electric nose and ear hair trimmer. Now, I'm not ashamed to admit it. I've got nose hair. And sometimes I'm in there with these little tiny scissors and it's a disaster. It's not simple. It's not elegant. So I can now use the Manscaped Weed Whacker to trim my nose hair. Thankfully, I do not have to deal with ear hair yet, but I'm sure that's close on the horizon. The beautiful thing about Manscaped products, though, is they're all waterproof. A lot of them, including their lawnmower, which takes care of your trimming below the belt, have a little LED light on there. So you're in the shower, where I like to do a lot of my shaving. Even though I have a beard, Josh, I actually do have to shave a little bit just to clean up the edges of my beard. I really like doing that in the shower. And you can do that with the lawnmower, with the Weed Whacker, all these beautiful Manscaped products that are chargeable, they're cordless, you can use them anywhere up to 90 minutes. And they also sell these beautiful like balms and lotions and whatnot. So when you're done trimming yourself, just really make yourself smell good and feel good with these lotions. They make perfect gifts. If you or know someone in your life who wants to give you a Manscaped product, provide them with this code in your holiday shopping list. Always go to manscaped.com and get 20% off and free shipping with our code ALWAYS. Basically, all I'm saying is if you love your package, if you love your nose and your ears, you want to give that gift to someone who does, visit manscaped.com, get 20% off free shipping with the code ALWAYS.
All right, Brandon, we're back. A lightning round of Patreon supporter questions. We were very focused on our teams this week, but we had a few questions from Patreon supporters that we wanted to get to in our lightning round. So we're going to treat these in true lightning round style, 30-second answers to all of the questions. First one comes from FPL Ant. He says, this is Diogo Jota. Is the other Jota even still playing in Estavilla? I'm not even sure. Did he leave? There were two Jotas for a while.
I don't know, and I don't care to know.
It says, is he the answer to the question we've all been afraid to ask? Dude, what do you think? We can't really bring him in, right? Like, it's...
Yeah, I was getting a real shellacking from some of our Patreon supporters after Jota came on and scored that winner for Liverpool against West Ham about how I've been discounting his usefulness. As far as FPL is concerned, there is this idea of, I mean, Jota was a legit fantasy pick when he was on Wolves, but then it becomes the whole, he is the lesser of so many great fantasy picks on Liverpool. So how is he going to rise to the top? And I feel like I've been burned so many times just going for the cheaper option on a team that has premium fantasy contenders. So I don't know if I'm ready to accept Jota. I'm slowly coming around to the idea that, yeah, that was a pretty good signing that Klopp made.
Yeah.
From a
fantasy point of view, it's hard to bring him in because I went Foden. I should have gone Jota, right? I mean, if you're going to have a inconsistent starter, you might as well go with the one that's a little bit cheaper. You know, he's available for 6.3 million and he started, I guess, well, this is the problem. He started two of the last five. So you have to, it's sort of like whether you think, I mean, in some ways I think he's kind of the like Firmino replacement. And the question is whether that is going to happen.
Jota is?
I think you ultimately can play him in a forward role. I think you play him a little bit like, I know he plays sort of on the left, but I think that you could play him. I mean, Klopp has traditionally been a little positionless up front with his players, right? You'll see Mane and Salah play centrally. I think Jota could play centrally as well. I don't know. I mean, I think that he is versatile enough that you could see him play in a kind of forward spot. And I think that he is, you know, capable of being, you know, a pretty good presser as well. So, I mean, if he wasn't pressing to Klopp standards, he wouldn't be getting all these minutes. Right. So I think, I don't know. I just wonder if that may be the spot, because Firmino is not, it's not, I don't know. It's just
it's not
really
working.
Happening. It's not working for him this year. And so I wonder if maybe it's you play Jota on the left and you play, you know, Mane up top and you play Salah on the right or something. I'm not really sure. Maybe you play, I mean, they played all four last week. And it was moderately successful. I don't know. I don't know if you call that Sheffield United match a success or not. It wasn't very fun to watch. But
my concern that is what you're missing then is Firmino worked in that number nine role for so long because he was just looking for his buds and he was able to play those passes and he was able to sort of do all of the dirty work. He could press, he could hold up, and he could look for the pass. And if you replace him with a player like Jota, who I do rate, but you kind of rate him with this when he's heading toward goal, not with his back to goal. So I wonder what you lose in that situation.
Yeah, but it feels like they're struggling to score goals this year, and he's got three of them already, right? He's got three times as many goals as Firmino does, at least in the Premier League. And so they might just need him, you know, just because Firmino can't seem to score anymore. And so
I'm asking for them to just find a player who's exactly like Firmino and bring him in. She probably doesn't exist.
So I guess the question is, you know, for the Firmino, like how he'd fit in aside, I guess the question is whether, you know, he's just kind of needed to be a starter in that team. And then he is obviously tremendous value at 6.3 million. But, and I hate to be like, oh, you've got to wait, because it's such a boring answer and you can miss on a big returns while you're waiting. But, you know, I mean, he only played 20 minutes in game week 7. I mean, most times, when you only play 20, you know, 15, 20 minutes, you're going to do what Phil Foden did, right? You're going to get 1 point. Yeah. So he actually had 2 goals. He had 1 chalked for a marginal offside. So he really
a weird foul on
it was. Was that what it was? Yeah, exactly.
Who knows what was going on? It was all happening in on a computer screen, Joshua. Yeah,
less than what happened in the lead up to Lamptey's goal. I'll say that much. I don't know. That was a weird one.
Oh my God. Let's not talk about it. Let us not talk about it. Like, what are we even doing, people?
What are we? Why do we have this? Like,
Graham Roberts or whatever the hell that referee's name is? He cut such like a grandpa in front of a TV where he's like, I'm going to tell you what the right call was.
VAR has made nothing better. Like, it is not, where the interpretation of the rules, whatever you want to call it, guys.
Sure. Like, some people will say the that situation with the Lamptey goal proves that VAR isn't the problem. The referees are the problem. Well, then the counter to that is, then why do we even have VAR? Well, why the charade? If we're just going to continue to deal with these idiot refs, then I like it the way it used to be it was just the idiot refs.
VAR and the Kane thing too. It's just like, I just liked it when we didn't stop everything for 4 or 5 minutes at a time to review it. It is not entertaining to me at all. And anyway, I want to go down that road. But geez, like, I wish it didn't affect every single match so much. Like, my God.
You see what happens, Francis? You ask me about Diogo Jota and we talk about VAR. So let that be a lesson to you.
There's no way we can't bring it around to VAR at some point. Nervous Ned says, looking at heat maps and threat in the last 2 weeks, Trent and Rabo are nowhere near as attacking as they were in the first 5, as they're still so expensive. Okay, so the yada, yada, yada. It's the classic question. What do we do with Trent and Rabo? It is, what a disaster. I mean, to get consecutive blanks from Robertson at 7 million, right? Yeah. Like an incredibly expensive defender. And at 7 million, I got blanks at home to Sheffield United and at home to West Ham. Both times on one was on a tiny VAR foul. One was on a just atrocious clearance from Gomez. What do you think about these defenders? You don't have any.
No, I don't have any. And Virgil van Dijk kind of solved that problem for me. They've got to go. They do have to go. And I'm sure they'll eventually come good. But I think the standard line is there are too many players in midfield and in the forward line where that money is going to be better spent. And listen, if you sell Trent, if you sell Robertson, you won't be the only ones. Mm-hmm. Therefore, it's not like their prices are going to change. And if they do change, they're going to be cheaper to buy back. So if you sell them, rest assured, you can always buy them back when the time comes. This is not a divorce. This is just a, what do you call it? Like a conscious uncoupling of sorts. Right.
I know. I'm holding Robertson for now because it just feels like, until I need the money, it's fine. But it's just super frustrating because there are all these small things. It's just one goal in most of these matches. You know, I mean, outside of that match they conceded 7, but
just the 7.
Yeah, but a poor run coming up too. I mean, not like horrendous, but just like, you know, Man City away. Obviously, that's about as bad as it gets. Leicester at home, that is not an especially appealing fixture. They play Wolves in a couple weeks, and Wolves have a tendency to nick a goal in every match. So, I'm at holding for now, but I don't feel great about it. And I would definitely not be doubled up. That's just like That is an easy answer there. Don't double up on those two.
But here's the other side of the coin, though, is Ned goes on to say, who are you going to move them to? Chilwell, Cresswell, Kilman, Zuma, Mings, who are all, in their own way, good options, and there are tons of other good options. But defense is so wildly unpredictable. So
I think
while I would advocate for selling Trent and Robertson, that you can't sell them unless you know what good thing you're going to do with that money, and probably meaning what good thing are you going to do in your midfield or forward. So it's kind of less which defender are you going to bring in for them, because it's a crapshoot. And if you or I were to profess to say, here's the best defender to bring in for them, we'd be liars, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose Chilwell would be the most tempting option, you know, just because he is a million cheaper. But yeah, I agree with the broad sentiment there. Francis says, will Brighton be relegated despite every match the commentators remark how you would think that they were a side pushing for the top six? Yeah, has any team gotten fewer points while looking good at the same time? They looked really good today, especially in the second half, and a little unlucky to lose for sure. Their defense is not so hot.
Yeah. I don't know. I saw this question and I was struggling with it because, in a way, yes, I agree. Brighton have looked great in most matches against, particularly against top opposition.
Yeah.
However, at what point do you start putting the blame on Brighton, like that they're not actually winning these games? It's not like the games are completely being taken away from them. I mean, they were given a goal in that Spurs match, and it was all pinned on Neil Maupay in that Manchester United match, but Maupay himself, a Brighton player, blew it for them. It wasn't like that match was stolen from them. So, you know, you can only take that narrative so far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
And I think where you land with Brighton is they're just a fine team. They're okay. They won't get relegated, I can tell you that much.
It's weird that they did so well. I mean, you look at like who played for them today. It's such a motley crew, you know, like some rumors that Mape, maybe it's a COVID thing, although who knows? I mean, it's not the kind of thing you want to speculate about, but regardless, it was a fine team performance. I think the three at the back with the wing back, especially because of Lamptey, it does help them. But yeah, I don't know. It's just, it's a weird thing. I mean, you know, Trossard is one of those players who is like, you really like, it's crazy that he only has one goal and two assists in the season, because every time you watch him play, you're like, this guy is awesome. Like he's so, you know, just like he's so energetic and takes a lot of shots and looks up pretty well with Mape too.
Trossard just needs to accept his fate as one of the greatest indoor soccer players ever. Just take your career and go join an indoor soccer team.
Trail Rockers. Yeah.
You'll be great.
That's a good idea. All right. Last question's from AJ. Says, what's your rating on Villa attacking assets going forward? I'm certainly happy as a Grealish walking owner with the points, but the game felt weird and hard to assess. Watkins to Callum Wilson is tempting. It sure is, AJ. So, Brandon, what do you think?
I think Villa, you hold. Yeah. I think you hold. Yeah. You look at Villa's upcoming fixtures, Arsenal, you know, I'm considering buying into that defense, and maybe that could be a tricky match. However, after that, Brighton, West Ham, Newcastle, Wolves, Burnley, West Brom, Palace. It's a really great run, and I think it's kind of splitting hairs if you're at this point talking about moving Watkins to Callum Wilson, especially Watkins taking that pen at the end of the match. I think that's Villa as a club saying, hey, we're invested in you getting, you know, really, truly getting off the mark. And we need more goals, and we need more goals from you.
Yep.
So that feels good to me. And Grealish is just undeniable at this point, I think.
I felt the same way. I was glad they gave Watkins that goal. It looks like Grealish did not want to give it up. That worked out fine for him in the end. But I think that will help Watkins. I mean, we all know how forwards are. You know, they need to be scoring goals, or they just like completely lose their confidence. So I think that was helpful. And I just said it's a good run ahead. And so I was reading some article recently that was just like, don't waste your energy trying to like flip your cheap forwards. Like it just, like just pick one and stick with them because they're so unpredictable and you never really know when they're going to go off. And maybe I actually think in some ways a match like away to Arsenal could help Watkins because he can maybe use his speed and get something on the break, which he really hasn't been able to do these last couple matches because he's been playing Southampton. Yeah. They gave them more of the ball. Leeds gave them more of the ball, at least in the first half of that match. So I don't know. So I think maybe we could see a little bit more, you know, from Watkins. I hope so. And I, you know, for right now he's going to stay just because I think long term I probably try to turn him into Grealish. You know, I have three Aston Villa players, so I actually can't bring in Grealish without dropping Watkins. So that is the one move I would consider doing as well, just because Grealish is, again, he's in that category of the like player who could score 15 to 20 points. And that's the kind of player that I want right now, you know, just those big returns.
Yeah, definitely. I agree. If you have to choose between the two, you hold Grealish. I guess that's kind of obvious, but that's the move.
Yep. Yeah. 7.3 million. All right. Well, that's the pod. Good luck to everybody tomorrow. There's two matches to go. I don't know how many players there are, but certainly Bamford and a few others are involved. Some people have Leeds defenders like myself, and you have
James Justin. Yep.
That's right. So if you
my one playing defender,
yeah, exactly.
It was
yeah,
so I mean, ridiculous.
I mean, I'm on zeros from Target and Martinez as well. So I'm and zero from Sace actually. So
wow, I can't believe it. You've had actual people who have actually played, and you're still zeros. Yeah,
Wild. It's not fun. Thank you to everybody for listening. One last shout out to the Patreon. If you want to become a Patreon supporter, go to patreon.com/alwayscheating, especially early in the month. It's a perfect time to do it. So Brandon, do you want to thank our producers?
Oh yeah. Big love to our producers. Trevor Ingerson, Mike DiPietro, Chris Howell, Andy Penn, Martin Savage, Brian T, the Big Gaffer, Bobas Kuhn, Jeff Husby, Ben Grant, James Holland, Jazz Binning, Dave Wagner, Lodahl, Nick Wright, Jim Payne, Brian Chin, Blair Jacobson, Travis West, Victor Forberg, Skogang, Paul Herzig, Kaya Christine Lalang, Andy Portlock, Toothless Gibbon, Lindsay Rostel, Anton Markov, at FPL Merch, Carrie Swanson, Paul Scanlon, Kieran Screeton, Francis Mann, Chris Carter, Blue Nose Stew, Producer Matt, Michael Uong, Bruce Kerr, Alper Poxoid, Nicholas Verdonkis, Sam Schauer, Henry Baker, Will Husby, Rich Evans, and Bobby Styles. And if you haven't already, just subscribe. Go to the Apple Podcast app, Spotify, Google Play, wherever it is that you get your podcast, hit subscribe. You'll never miss an episode. And if you have time, it really does help us. Leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. Also, follow us wherever you get your social media. Josh, you love that, Twitter.com. We're at Hail Cheaters there. Yep. We occasionally post some very amazing photographs on our Instagram account, also Hail Cheaters, facebook.com/alwayscheating, email hailcheaters@gmail.com. All this information and more, including our Always Cheating shop. Big thanks to producer Mike for ordering a new Always Cheating Make Fantasy Fun Again beanie. And I think this is a good time to say, Josh, that if you've been eyeing some Always Cheating merch in our shop and you want it for the holidays, just start telling your friends and loved ones now, because, you know, it could take us a couple of weeks to get it to you. And we want to make sure everyone has a beautiful Bus Team t-shirt, a Make Fantasy Fun Again hat or t-shirt, just an Always Cheating hoodie waiting for them so that they can be wearing that swag when they're watching all the matches on Boxing Day. Am I really painting a picture here for you, Josh?
You are. Yeah. It's I drifted out for a while. I was lost in the photo. So that's where you can go to find everything and buy some merch. And it's good merch too, Brad. You've done an excellent job with the design on that. So thank you for listening. Let's hope that game week 8 is, I don't know, a fun one. Maybe a little more normal. I'll take normal, Brandon.
Sure. Give me 20% sometimes normal is fun.
Yep. All right. Well, in honor of Dan Mercy and Bakani, get an assist in midweek. Hail and Bakani. Welcome back, our old friend.
We love you, Bakani.